Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours. And I am joined tonight, as always, by my best friend, my wife, my partner, my love. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I'm doing pretty well. Hanging in. Got a sick kid. She's feeling pretty cruddy.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry, I'm off coming to you guys live from Boulder, Colorado, where the weather is no less weird than it is there, apparently. Sunshine for about an hour and a half this morning, and then the sleet and snow, and they're calling for some kind of freezing fog advisory.
Yeah.
Which apparently just coats your car in a complete encasement of ice almost instantly upon contact. So it sounds pretty excited, and I'm really happy that I'm not driving anywhere tonight.
Yeah.
Now, they already had one of the interstates here closed down because of some black ice and people playing bumper cars. So as much as we joke about people over at home can't drive in the snow and ice, well, apparently that's universal. You'd think up here in 5,300 feet above sea level, they'd have a better idea of how to deal with it. But I guess black ice is black ice around the world.
Yeah.
So I heard the weather was kind of sporty over there with you today, too.
Yeah, it was. We had a mix of everything today. We had snow, we had sleet, we had rain, we had, and everything in between. We had fog. I think the thing that's got me down the worst, though, is the fact that we haven't seen the sun here in central Pennsylvania in about, 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, it has been dreary and incessant. It's just, And it's that, and then fog to go with it, and it's just been dreary.
Yeah.
And seeping into your bones kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm certainly hoping to bring some sunshine back with me.
That would be nice.
For the weekend. Yeah. So, tonight, we are having a conversation about the language of interfaith dialogue. And, a couple of years ago, we had a conversation about this. And that show has actually been replayed a couple of times. We got some pretty positive reaction back then. And we discussed it and thought maybe it was time to revisit this topic and, you know, have the discussion again live. Invite callers, anyone who wants to join us, at 646-564-9714. But one of the things, you know, the principal tenet of this radio station and to a certain degree our personal ministry is a recognition that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say that, we have to recognize the inherent validity of all expressions of faith, whether we follow it or even if we agree with all of its tenets. The idea that we're all seeking the divine in our own way is key to peace and understanding around this planet, and sometimes even in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. Some people will say, well, they don't want to hear what I have to say, but, you know, we need to be available to have the conversation. You were going to say, I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening, sorry.
Huh. So, you know, that's been the, you know, it has been interesting in my life that I have been presented with multiple opportunities to have conversations with all of different expressions of faith. I'd quit thinking it was coincidence and have just embraced the fact that the divine is putting me in these situations to have these moments. And, you know, a lot of people I know are anti this or anti that. And we, you know, we never really even allowed that. I mean, we had one former host that was, you know, kind of anti everything, and he is a former host. it's for that reason, principally. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, we try to embrace and understand and love everyone and celebrate the full diversity of expressions. Just because I don't practice the way someone else does doesn't mean that theirs isn't valid. It just means it's valid for them. I reserve the right to determine what is valid for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we preach that week in and week out, whether
Very
it
good.
Is intra-faith, whether it is intra-faith, and we're talking to other people that have a similar understanding of the divine through, polytheism
uh-huh.
and fall under that pagan umbrella, or if it's someone who's monotheistic and has a different understanding of the divine.
Right.
The idea that each and every person has the right to their understanding of the divine is... You know, it's just a core of what I practice and a core of what the station was founded on. And one of the things that Robin and I love about each other is that we end up having these conversations with people.
Uh-huh.
So what thoughts do you have before we get into some of the hows and whys and stuff?
Well, I just think that these days we're so hell-bent on pointing out everybody's differences. Well, I do it this way. You do it that way. And it's not the same. And, you know, or my God is better than your God. I've got the real God. Your God's a fake God. Like, those things to me are just an abhorrent concept. Like, why would you think, you know, there's all these other religious pantheons, but I happen to have the one that's absolutely, totally, and only the only one that's correct. I somehow don't think that the universe works that way. I somehow think that how we are meant to find the spiritual path that feeds our soul.
No, absolutely. I wrote a document called A Corellian Creed some years ago, 15 or so now. But it's really not just Corellian. It's a universalist kind of approach to the divine. And it recognizes that the divine comes to each of us in a way that is unique and appropriate to that individual. Even if the divine, even if you call that by the same name, two people worshiping the same God form will have different understandings of that God form. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's seriously cool. The fact that we can all have our personal relationship with the divine by whatever name we call it, and it's not dependent on your understanding of, you know, breed, or your understanding of the horned god, or my understanding of the horned god. You know, we each have that separate individual relationship with the divine. And that's not just okay, but that's actually seriously cool. Thoughts, comments?
Oh, I was listening. I thought you were breathing. I don't think that it's as difficult a concept as people make it out to be. You know, we just really have to recognize that, as crazy as old Aleister Crowley was, he hit on something when he said, "Love is the whole of the law." And all of the major religions, well, I should say all the religions really, hold love at the very center of their ideology. You know, love one another and treat others as you'd have them treat you. These are things that just about every spiritual path, just about every spiritual path has in common with one another. And so when you bring it down to that, these basic tenets that we all embrace, what does it matter whether, you know, you go to a synagogue and I go to a church, or I go to a field and stand around in a circle around a fire and pray, or I, you know, pray to a tree, or whatever.
Right, we put a stone on a big flat stone on a tree trunk, or a stump of a tree, and
mm-hmm.
No, I mean that's it exactly, and it goes back to a story, and many of you have heard it, and if you have, and I'm telling it again, and you're just, you know, bear with me. This would have been like 2002-ish. I was on a plane traveling from Chicago, Illinois, to Atlanta, and then I was going to change planes and fly on. But this plane was full of people going to a religious education conference in Atlanta. Well, immediately I become nervous, because it didn't occur to me that religious has a very broad term, and I went to a very narrow term.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up sitting next to the dean of theology of a Lutheran seminary. And at some point early in the flight, he let me know that it was a religious, and that there were Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, all kinds of faiths were represented on this aircraft going to this conference. And I was wearing a pentacle or something, and we got into a conversation. He knew I was pagan, and I knew he was Lutheran, and we sat and had the most amazing conversation about the nature of the divine. We didn't talk about who was right, who was wrong. We talked about the love of the divine, and we sat together, and out of this came an understanding of a new definition, or maybe it's not even new, but it was our definition that we worked out at the time. Definition of religion: all faiths teach love the divine, by whatever name you call it, and love your neighbor. Every one of them. And then Robin correctly identified that all of them have some form of the golden rule, whether it is, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or in our pagan realm, mostly Wiccan thought of harm not. The idea is that we treat people around us with the same level of respect that we wish to be treated, with which we wish to be treated. Not the treatment that we received, but the treatment that we wish we would receive. It calls us to a higher standard. Whatever we call the divine, we are called to an understanding, to a way of treating others that is a higher standard than the secular world around us to a certain degree. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that you just said just about everything that I said, that people just need to focus on embracing the commonalities as opposed to pointing out the differences. Touchy subject. A lot of people these days are pointing a finger at the Muslim religion and saying, oh, it's not, you know, they're violent, they're this, they're that. We have evangelicals in this country who are very radical and conservative. You know, there's still a branch of certain religions where women are still very subverted, and you know, Muslims have the same sort of thing. They have people who are not balanced, and they're out of kilter and very, very hyper-conservative. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every person who's a Muslim feels that way, just like not every person who's a Christian feels that way, just like not everybody who's a Druid or a pagan or a Buddhist or, you know, is going to be somebody that you couldn't be in a room with. I think, you know, at the core of everything here is, first and foremost, we're all human beings. And we all have similar feelings and senses and wishes and wants and desires. And most of those should be simple. You know, I want a happy home. I want food on my table. I want a roof over my head. And I want the people in my life who love me, my family, to be safe. I mean, can't we just about boil everything down to that?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And their teaching is, not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you wish for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going with this, was that if you want those things yourself, what makes you think that other people don't want those things? I don't understand that concept. So, you know, it's not like, hey, I'm the smartest person in the world, I'm the only person in the world who ever had this concept or this idea. No, that's not the case at all. You know, when you travel to foreign countries, there's a language barrier. But one of the things you notice, and I've talked about this before myself here on the show, is there are certain things that all humans have in common, certain things that will make them all smile and feel warm and fuzzy. Cute puppies, cute animals, little children doing cute things. You don't need to know what the language is that the child might be trying to speak to see that this is an adorable child, their parents love them, everybody's smiling, and it's cute. there are certain things that are just human. We all share. We all have these things in common. And the same thing goes with our spirituality. Now, because we're all not exactly the same cookie-cutter person, there are going to be differences. And I really think this is why we have so many spiritual paths, is because we are all different people, and different things appeal to different types of people. And so, in order to have choice, in order to have a custom fit, if you will, I mean, if you went to the store and there was only one blue suit and everybody had to have that same one blue suit, life would be pretty boring. So rather than having only one blue suit, there's a million different kinds of suits you can try on, right? Well, spirituality is the same way. You try on one and you see, well, how does this fit? Do I like this? Does this feed my soul? Does this make me feel warm and fuzzy inside? Do I feel glad? Am I happy? Do I feel loved? Because that is the pursuit that we all as human beings engage in, is the pursuit to feel loved, to belong, to have a family. It's in our DNA. Yes, and don't somebody be out there saying, well, I have an uncle who's a hermit and he never blah, 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 blah. Well, that's because he would like to be loved as well, but there's something broken. There's something irreparably damaged that he can't bring himself to overcome. And that's something that we do to each other as well. We damage each other. But that's another show.
That's another whole show.
Yeah.
There's any number of ways to approach this, and I was looking through my research and trying to find these five models, and I can't seem to find it. And I had looked at it earlier today. But there are ways of approaching this. One of my favorites is the idea of the mountain. And I've heard it said, and I have repeated this, that if someone tells me they know the only path up the mountain, they're not looking at the same mountain I am.
Right.
The truth is we're all seeking to attain some inner truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we can look at this as a mountain with multiple paths. We can look at it in any number of different ways. But the concept is all the same. We inherently, and I say we as in our organization here, inherently believe that all of the expressions of faith are looking for some ultimate truth, some ultimate reality, whether we call it the God, the goddess, God, the great spirit, Allah, Brahman, Buddha, whatever that name is, we're all seeking an experience with that ultimate reality. And, you know, I honestly believe that reality cannot be limited by a name. We can't put the divine in a box. However pretty that box is, once we start saying this is what God is, or this is what goddess is, or this is the divine truth in this box, however pretty, however golden, however silver, however decorated, it's still trying to put the ultimate truth in a box. That is futility in action. So the name or the concept is an attempt to place a limit in and of itself. So let's not. Let's talk about the divine. Let's talk about the grandness, the uncontainability of the great truth of the universe. And when we can approach our conversations with others based on the idea that we're all seeking that ultimate truth that cannot be expressed, in our mortal bodies, then we've got a place to start because we're all looking for that. We're hardwired for that. You know, labels try to define things, and this, and the truth is, my understanding, my expression, my experiences can very often not be labeled or defined. So I can try to express them, I can try to share them with someone, but they're so personal that we can't truly label them in a way that's meaningful to anyone else, so why try? Express it, share it, move on. And if we can look for that in others. Now, honestly, I am fascinated by differences. You know, Robin had said something earlier about, you know, let's seek a commonality. That is absolutely true. And we don't need to focus on our differences. But sometimes it's pretty cool to embrace them. I don't mean embrace them as in I'm going to now follow this practice. Because if it's not part of my faith, then it would be in some ways insulting. But to understand and appreciate and find a coolness in the practice of another, even when it's different from my own, is a show of respect. Robin, tell the story of your feelings when we were in Dubai, listening to the calls.
Well, yeah, you know, you're listening to the song that they sang, the chant, if you will, that they use to call people to the mosques, and it's beautiful and haunting and annoying and loud and, but it moves you. I mean, you understand why this is such a beautiful tradition and why it's such a beautiful religion in so many ways. The Muslims. I just can't explain it. It's something that you have to experience. You know, sitting in the hotel room, listening to this, makes you want to go and see what it's about. It's absolutely, it's brilliant. This is the way that they've used to call people to mosque all these hundreds of years, because it's this voice just calling out. And even though you don't understand the language, you understand its intention, which again speaks to the commonality and speaks to our desire to gather together, to bask, if you will.
Experience.
Yeah, and to experience deity and to commune with other people who are, you know, looking for that same spiritual acceptance and love, and it's all about love. And this song is singing out, and it's, you know, and it sounds so mournful, but it is so beautiful at the same time. And you know what it's for. And there's, I mean, if you'd never heard it before, and you weren't ever had never heard that the Muslims do that, and you had heard it in the city, you'd have a good guess just from what was going on if you were close enough to the mosque to hear it and see people gathering at the mosque. And it's sort of this really cool thing. They go in and everybody takes their shoes off outside, and so you'll know when people are inside the mosque because they've left their shoes all over the stairs leading up to the mosque. And nobody takes their shoes. You know, Dubai is a big city, kind of like, you know, New York, right? Nobody, can you imagine leaving your shoes on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral? Somebody would walk off with them, right? Not in Dubai, and not in the mosque. They all leave their shoes on the stairs, and nobody takes them. And, you know, when they're done, everybody comes out, and their shoes are there, and they put their shoes on. It's just this very sort of humbling and community thing. Look, we're all going to leave our shoes here. Nobody take anybody else's shoes, okay? That's trust. That's a community. That's people who, you know, are there to do something that they all know what they're going to be doing and that they're going to be participating together in this endeavor. And so they take care of each other. Even something as simple as just not taking anybody else's shoes. You know?
No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the melodic, it calls to something inside of you. And it's not our expression of faith, and we are by no means singling out, Islam. It is something with which we have experience because of our travels.
Uh-huh.
And so that is one faith that we have been exposed to that is different than what we normally get in America.
Well, one of the other things that we did together, as I recall, and it's in the same vein, is remember the Hindu temple we went to in Flushing, Queens, New York?
Exactly.
And it was beautiful. The feeling in the temple, that sort of hushed reverence for these gods and these big ebony statues of all these different gods, you know, Ganesha and Shiva. And, I mean, they were all there. And Vishnu, anyway, they were all there. There had to have been, 15 or 20 different statues, I mean, big,
mm-hmm.
and they all have their own little apartment, if you will, that they keep them in, and they open the door, and people bring offerings. And it was beautiful, and they spill milk and honey, and they leave, you know, saffron and flowers and bananas and fruit. And it's just gorgeous. And the grounds outside.
Yeah, that's another place you leave your shoes outside.
Yes, yeah, another place where you take your shoes off and you leave your shoes outside, and they're safe. Nobody takes them. But they was in a little courtyard with a wall, so people walking by couldn't see them. But it was like being in a totally different world. And the food in this basement of this Hindu temple, they run an amazing. It's very simple. You know, it's picnic tables with folding chairs, but the food was awesome. And honestly, that was part of the reason we went there. Is I had read a review of the Hindu food in this bottom of this temple in Flushing, Queens, New York. And we went there, and boy, were they right. I mean, I think it was like for $20, we ate like, you know, kings at this place. It was amazing. And it's funny because I wore the shawl that I bought there that day, today, as a matter of fact, at work. And the girl downstairs was commenting on it. Where did you get that? That's so pretty. So I showed her the little emblem on it that, look, it's from the Hindu temple in Queens. She just looked at me like, you went to a Hindu temple? I'm like, yeah.
Well, I mean, when we were in Dubai and we found that we wandered through the maze of back streets around the
mm-hmm.
old souk
mm-hmm.
and found the Hindu section
mm-hmm.
in Dubai.
Yes.
You know, there's a huge Hindu temple right across the street from the Dubai Museum is this giant Hindu temple. And the back streets behind it are full of little shops and stalls where you can buy incense. And we picked up the Divine Family statue that sits on our altar now,
mm-hmm.
the Shiva Parvati with Ganesha.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that even there, you find this intermingling, not so much intermingling maybe, but at least coexistence of multiple faiths.
Mm-hmm.
And there are Christian churches in Dubai. So, you know, people think that the areas of the Middle East are completely closed off, but even there, you've got three major religions all coexisting. With no problems. We are past the bottom of the hour. We've been going on, and it is past time. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we're going to listen to a song by our guest coming up on Thursday night, Celia Farron. And we've got a song from her called "Symbol," and we will play that. And a commercial on a few things, and we'll be back right after this. Everybody, stick around.
An American soldier came home today. wrapped up as cargo in an American flag. He asked for one sweet silent symbol on his grave, but the VA gun said, "Sorry, son, request a night." Well, he served as any other with his hands and with his heart. He prayed to Father Sky, he bowed down to Mother Earth. He honored air and water and the fire he danced around, but you didn't honor him before you put him in the ground. It's a symbol, it's a sign, it stands for everything divine. Excuse me, sir, I think you're wrong. I checked it the last time I read the doctrine. It said practicing your faith is not a crime. So let this soldier rest, honor his request. You sent that little girl crying home from school, told her she was evil and she disobeyed the rules. And she knows that if you catch her, that you'll have her expelled. She's frightened every member of the family's gonna hell. She's all messed up, she's 5 years old, she doesn't know her rights. But her daddy is a lawyer, so get ready for the fight. And fight for what we believe in. He's a believer and he wears it on his arm. First day new job, he set off all of the alarms. The memo spread like wildfire that the devil had arrived, and the virus got to corporate and they fired him by five. Now all this misperception and everyone so hard for.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to The Power Hours with Terry and Robin. How you doing over there, darling?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, so before the break, we were talking about recognizing differences and not shying away from them. You know, so often in dialogue these days, we try to look at the commonality. But as part of our interfaith dialogue, we should respect the passion that others have. There's so many things that are different from our expression of faith that other people do. We mentioned the calls to prayer. And I had Robin tell that story because she was genuinely moved and talks about this, from time to time. And there's a look in her eye when she tells that story. What was the other difference you were talking about during the break? Something that's different in another faith. You were talking about church bells.
Yeah, church bells do the same thing, I guess. You know, from a Christian standpoint, the town church rings the bell to call, you know, the followers to the church to let them know that it's time. And there's a similarity, you know, between the Muslims calling people with song and voice. And there's also an ancient belief that many of us pagans know and follow and understand that sound is one way to create a cleansed and sacred space and to draw sacred energies to a spot. So whether you're using the
bells,
human voice.
Singing bowls,
exactly. And the Tibetans, the Buddhists use singing bowls.
So, you know, there's all of these things. And, I mean, we can even look at, communion and rosaries and, you know, things that, you know, have similarities but are very different. You know, a communion is representing, you know, the body and blood of Jesus. Rosaries are saying Hail Marys, but we also have, you know, pagan prayer beads and Hindu prayer beads and Buddhist prayer beads. And so there are differences, and yet there are some things that are similar. And if we look at, you know, we want people to respect the passion that we have for our gods and for dancing around a fire or chanting or drumming or any of our practices. If we want others to respect that passion we have, we should do the same for them. And little things like Robin and I's appreciation of the calls to prayer. And where our hotel is when we stay in Dubai is right next door to a mosque. And the Emiratis do tend to play the calls to prayer louder than in Kuwait. Because I was in Kuwait the next week after we were in Dubai together, and I was in Kuwait, and the calls to prayer are much less loud. Every culture, even subculture within the region has different practices. And it's fascinating. I mean, people think of a single faith as this monolith, and you know, even within the major religions, even within our pagan faith, there are differences from one person, from one group, from one culture to another. And if we embrace the awesome diversity and the power of that diversity to spread the love of the divine and to just respect each other, just respect one another and the fact that we're all walking a path, there's this illusion of separateness from the divine that we all, at one point or another in life, have felt. And we seek to dispel that separateness, that removal from the divine through our spiritual experiences. That's common to every man, woman, and child on this planet. How we do that isn't as important as the fact that we can support each other in their efforts and in our own. And I think that's really the message that we're trying to convey tonight. Robin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
No, I agree. You know, there's not really much for me to add. Well said, sweetheart.
Thank you. Well, I bet you had nothing to add to something I said? I'm going to write that on the calendar.
Funny.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go. I guess it's about time to start telling people how to get in touch with us. Let's go ahead and do that, and then we'll come back for some final words.
Okay. Well, as many of you know, you can get in touch with us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's our email address. Feel free to email us about any and all things, anything from something for the radio station to you want us to come attend your event and teach a workshop, or you'd like to talk to either Terry or myself in reference to services we provide. Terry does spiritual counseling and has been for over 20 years, and I am an holistic health coach, and we also do couples workshops, forgiveness workshop, how to forgive yourself and others. Oftentimes forgiving yourself can be the more difficult thing. And just in general, and anything that you want to, you know, find out from us, you certainly can send us an email to that littlestonebridge@gmail.com account and just put something that's going to make the subject stand out, because we get a ton of mail at that account. So if you can, you know, say workshop needed, or, you know, question for the radio show or something to that effect in the subject, so that we know what it's for. The other way to reach us is, of course, on the ubiquitous Facebook. You can reach me at Robin A. Keen, or you can reach Terry at his public figure page, Rev Terry Power HP. You also can get in touch with us at another Facebook page, the CERN Facebook page, S-U-R-N, Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
Spiritual Unity Radio Network, yes, ma'am. And the Little Stonebridge Pathworkings page.
And the Little Stonebridge Pathworkings Facebook page as well. Lots of ways to get a hold of us.
Absolutely. And if there's something you would like to hear us talk about, any show topic ideas, we are still working on the 2017 schedule. And there are some open spots in there. So we're looking for ideas from our listeners, ideas and topics that you would like to hear us discuss, or something you've heard us talk about in the past you'd like for us to revisit. By all means, let us know. Now, some programming notes, some things coming up. First of all, I want to say how excited I am at the new show on Sunday nights, Alan Ritter and Christy Shepherd with the Emerging Forest, or An Emerging Forest, excuse me, get the correct article there. And their show is really looking at, in a lot of ways, his journey to the divine, much like we've been talking about tonight, and looking at life as a game and how do we play it. It's a very interesting take on spirituality, and I find it very interesting to listen. I encourage you to go find it in the archives and listen in live on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. Of course, on Monday night is The Voice of Olympus with Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory. Tuesday night is, of course, The Powers Hour, our show here where Robin and I get to talk with you guys about, everything. Mostly sharing our thoughts and our personal mission. Wednesday nights is Dax Axelrod talking about economics and the spiritual path, applying spirituality to an economics framework, another interesting take on our path to the divine and how we apply our resources in that journey. And Thursday night, of course, is our energy show, Under a Shady Tree, where Robin and I talk to interesting people, some we agree with, some we don't, authors, musical artists. We're getting ready to start up a new push to get the artists that will be appearing at Caldera Fest in October to come on the show and talk about themselves and introduce some of those people to our listeners. In fact, this Thursday night, Robin most likely flying solo because I think I'm going to be on an airplane.
Yeah.
She will be talking with Celia Farron, our musical interlude tonight. Celia's a hoot, and I'm actually disappointed I'm going to miss being part of that conversation. A week from tonight is our In Bulk ritual live here on the air. Join us and celebrate the coming of the light. A week from Thursday on the 2nd of February is going to be our open topic Thursday night. So you don't know what you might get. You might just want to tune in for the sheer surprise value of it. And that's about all I'm going to get into right now. I think the 7th, 2 weeks from tonight, is also another ritual coming up with the full moon. And then on the 14th of February, we're going to be together for Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about love magic. So you want to tune in for that. Let's see, places you can see us. We are going to be appearing at the Sumera Fest. Or Sumer Fest, I'm not quite sure how we're pronouncing it. It's going to be a Sumerian wind fair of sorts in central New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get together. Several of us will be in costumes representing different gods and goddesses of the Sumerian pantheon. But there's also going to be activities going on. There's going to be several rituals, drumming, so you want to make sure and attend. Robin, did you have anything you wanted to add about that?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think that it's going to be an awesome event, and it's, right in central New Jersey. It's right in the area of Manalapan, if anybody is familiar with that. It's sort of the Manalapan-Marlboro area. So it's pretty much...
Yeah, how far is that from Rutgers University?
From Rutgers, it's probably 40-minute drive, tops.
Okay. And it's south of Rutgers, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so anybody that knows where Rutgers is, they're at, near, 287 comes through there? They're about 40 minutes south of that. So, anyway, it's going to be a blast. You want to come out. And if you want a chance to talk with Robin or myself or both of us, come see us. We're going to have some workshops going on at that event as well. And not going to get too much into it, but in October we will be appearing at and doing press and such for Caldera Fest. Caldera Fest 2017 or Caldera Fest 2, however you want to refer to it. So, and of course, if you have an event you want us to come to, give us a shout, email us, and we'll talk about it. Let's see. Final thoughts. We've got a couple of minutes left. And what are your final thoughts on tonight's discussion of interfaith dialogue?
I thought it went well. It was interesting. And it's one of your favorite topics, I know. So it's always fun to talk about. And I think that people just need to take a chill and look at other people's religions and decide that there's no basis for hate in them. There's only the basis for love. And I don't see how anybody can say otherwise.
Oh, that is absolutely true. Interestingly enough, in my research that I did, Robin's right. This is one of my pet topics, and I think that a lot of that comes from the Holy One finding new and interesting ways to sit me next to a clergy person of multiple faiths in many of my travels, including one of my trips to Haiti. The trip I was talking about, there was another encounter that came up recently where I find myself in these discussions, and I think that the Holy Ones put me there for a reason. But in my research, I have come across you can actually buy the poster, but it's got the Golden Rule. And I think 14 different faiths. Everything from Buddhism to Christianity to Native American concepts, Judaism. I mentioned earlier Islam. I was actually reading off of that poster, I will admit. Taoism. All of them have some concept of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets, according to Matthew, according to the Talmud. This is the whole of the Torah. All the rest is commentary. The Sikhs, I am a stranger to no one, and no one is a stranger to me. Indeed, I am a friend to all. So, you know, this goes through, you know, Confucianism, Baha'i. It's a great little poster. I wish that, of course, they had had some, you know, Wiccan concept of harm none. But, you know, maybe in the next incarnation they'll embrace that as well. The point is, we are all seeking that connection, and we all teach love. It is incumbent upon us to express that love in our very actions. One of the prophets of Christianity, and I will refer to St. Francis as a prophet, said to minister share the gospel in all things, or at all times, and use words if necessary. The subtlety of that is that we're called, whatever our faith, to express our faith in our actions. And then, if we need to, say something in words. But our life itself should be our ministry. Whatever we believe, however we love the divine and love others, it should be apparent in our lives, not just in our words. And with that, I think I will say good night and wish you all a week filled with love, and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.